WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. What's up, NHRA fans? I'm Joe Costello, and welcome to 2015. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. If you're clicking on this show, you click the link, you downloaded the app, you got your brand new iPhone 6 or Samsung 14, and you downloaded the WFO Radio app, you did the right thing. We've got a great show for you. We're kicking it off in a big way with the 8-time Top Fuel champion, Tony Schumacher. We finally caught up with Tony. We're going to start off 2015 with an interview with the Sarge. We're going to talk about Don. We're going to talk about the team. We're going to talk about it all with Tony Schumacher just minutes from now. So if you're a fan of the Sarge, stick around. Also on the show, John Hale recently announced, like just early this week, as the driver of the Grime Boss Racing Team for Jim Dunn Racing, and John Hale going to be on the show. He's going to be a very busy man in 2015. We're going to speak with him about moving up to the big show full-time with a legend, Jim Dunn. Also on the show, as our parade of champions continues, competition eliminator David Rampe going to be on the show for you fans of the Lucas Oil Series. Maybe you're a Nitro fan, and you're like, you know, I see those cars, but I don't really get it. We're going to talk with Rambo. We're going to ask him to just spell it out. How do we make Nitro fans of Competition Eliminator as well? So if you love the Lucas Oil Series, stick around. We've got the champ, David Rampe, going to be on the show. Tony Schumacher going to be on the show. John Hale going to be on the show. But if you're new to WFO Radio, the voice of the NHRA, that's right, the big dog, Alan Reinhart, starts them all off, and here he is now. Alan, happy 2015. Happy New Year to you.
Joe, great to be here. Great to be starting a new year. Just seems like only yesterday, right? I mean, how long have we been doing this now? Like 8 years, 9 years?
Well,
77 years?
Back to the XM satellite radio days when XM and Sirius were two independent entities, and we started XM Sports Nation, and we put together the Power Shift show, and you were on Tuesday. NHRA Tuesday was the original name of the program, and you know, Wednesday we talked IndyCar, and Thursday we talked Formula One with Bob Varsha. When we moved the show to the net and to the applications, NHRA Tuesday became NHRA Nitro, and here we are. It has been quite a while, and a lot has happened, all for the better, I think.
Well, it's definitely been an interesting ride so far. Looking forward to the future as well.
All right, big news. Everybody is logging on. They know there's huge news. Things happening. Stories breaking. John Hale going to be on the show. Jeff Arend is out at Jim Dunn Racing. John is in. We'll talk about that. But I think the blockbuster story that everybody wants to know about, Alanabi Racing in flux. The press release going out the other day about basically the nation of Qatar ceasing funding for North American motorsports operations. That's sending a shockwave through the racing community.
Yeah, that's going to affect a lot of different teams, not just, you know, the two-car Top Fuel team that runs in the Mellow Yellow Series, but they've been involved with a lot of Pro Mod teams, a couple of Sportsman guys as well. So, and, you know, I wish I had some inside information. I really don't. Everybody kind of got blindsided by that when that news came out on Monday, and I think that, you know, all the way up to and including Alan Johnson, at this point, they're still kind of assessing options, trying to figure out if you know what they're going to do, if there's a way that they can put together funding, if they can start the season and then try to try to fill in the gaps as they go or what. And I don't think they've made any decisions yet. I haven't spoken to anybody over there, so anything I would you know, I would just be pure speculation, and I'm not going to do that.
We are in the position, unfortunately, where all we have is speculation. And then the press release, it says team members are unavailable to grant any interview requests. And the fact of the matter is that they were shocked by this as well. And so we just don't know. But they have Alanabi is on the side of a lot of race cars out there in NHRA competition and other sanctions as well.
Well, no question about it. And like I say, I just, you know, I'm not sure what happened that made this decision come down. You know, last year at the U.S. Nationals, they announced a five-year extension and looked like everything was good to go for the future. But, you know, obviously something has happened, and I've heard some various speculation about, you know, well, gee, oil prices are down and this and that. My understanding is, you know, Qatar is not as big an oil producer as they are a natural gas producer, and those prices certainly haven't gone away. B, if they stop selling oil and natural gas tomorrow, I don't believe what they spend on racing is enough to make any kind of an impact in, you know, in their financial status over there. So, you know, whatever it is, something happened that triggered the decision. It's a shame for the race teams, but it's been great to have them here as long as they've been here, and maybe whatever triggered this decision is reversible. You know, maybe whether it's later this year, whether it's next year, whether it's 5 years down the road, they'll decide they want to come back over here and get involved. So it's just going to be a wait-and-see thing at this point in time.
In the press release, for those who did not receive it or read it on the web, Alan Johnson says, "We're obviously surprised and disappointed about this completely unexpected turn of events. Our plans for the 2015 NHRA season were nearing completion, starting with preseason testing next week in West Palm Beach, Florida, and the first race of 2015 NHRA season a month from today in Pomona, California. Many things are uncertain, and our situation is obviously still evolving. We are currently exploring our options, and we hope to have more news in the near future. One door closes, another opens. I consider myself an optimistic person. If you're a CEO of a business out there, suddenly there is a championship caliber top fuel team with the greatest crew chief personality at the helm available."
Yeah, the biggest issue with that is that, you know, this late date, you know, there is no company that I know of that doesn't already have their 2015 marketing budget set by now. You know, nobody's going to go, "Hey, boy, this is a great opportunity. You know, let's write a check." At least nobody that I know of, because all of this stuff happens, you know, months in advance and well out in front. And, you know, you look at what John Force has been going through. You talk about championship teams that are seeking sponsorship. You know, he had better than a year's notice, has been working on things and still doesn't have it all in place. So, you know, what's going to happen with AJR and what's going to happen with the drivers and the teams? I think at this point, I think absolutely nobody knows. Possibly by this time next week, there'll be a little bit more news. But, you know, the bombshell dropped on Monday, and we're doing this on Tuesday. So at this point, I think everybody's still kind of assessing positions and options.
You mentioned oil prices. This is something that is, you know, bantered about. I've seen the speculation as well. Let me go into a different direction in that the fans who go to the races are loving it. Obviously, it's oil prices are down significantly. Gas prices are down significantly. So when you think about going to an NHRA race in 2015 and you might have to drive a couple of hundred miles, there's a huge savings there. Maybe you'll go. That's the disposable entertainment dollar we're always talking about. It. So good for the fans. Maybe they'll buy a shirt. Maybe they'll buy a soda. On the other side of it, a lot of the companies that race and a lot of the people who race in NHRA drag racing are in the oil industry, and so maybe it's not as good for them. The reason I pointed out is just kind of interesting how the whole racing economy can work.
Well, you know, the racing economy is certainly part of the global economy. If things are good globally, then companies have money to spend, whether it's advertising income, whether it's disposable income, whether it's customer relations income, which is what a lot of the companies do. You know, C&J Energy Services doesn't sponsor Bob Vandergriff Racing and their top fuel operation because they want Joe and Alan to call C&J Energy Services. That's just not something we're going to do. But for their trackside entertainment, for their business-to-business relationships, for it makes sense for them to spend that money and to foster the relationships there. So it's a little bit different dynamic with some of those businesses. You know, how much farther the ripple effect is going to go, I think, remains to be seen. You know, gas prices being down is definitely good for everybody, not just race fans, but everybody. You know, I was thinking the other day, definition of mixed emotions. I see a sign that says regular gas $1.95, and I'm driving my diesel truck. So, you know, you're going to have days like that, I guess. But, you know, it's definitely gas prices being down are good for the economy. They're good for everybody. And, you know, everybody will just have to adjust.
That adjustment is kind of interesting to think about how it's going to go on. We got Tony Schumacher going to be on the show. They're getting ready for the Pro Winter warm-up, which we'll be talking about down here in the WFO part of the country, southeastern Florida. The NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series is going to happen in 2015, regardless of which teams and which super teams have or have not sponsors. There are going to be 16 slots available to compete on Sunday for whoever can qualify. Alan, it's kind of interesting to think about the guys out there, the part-time Top Fuel teams, regional Top Fuel teams that maybe go out and make some runs and some blasts in their local area that might right now be thinking to themselves, wow, there might be opportunity for us. We might be able to make some shows here. We might be able to get into this. It's kind of interesting how that churn may work as teams come and go. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's some definite validity to that. I mean, you know, the Alan and Joe WFO Top Fuel team that runs Gainesville and Atlanta and maybe Charlotte every year, because those three are all close to, you know, our home base. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but our shops are based in Miami. So,
oh, boy. A lot of travel.
Yeah. But at this point, you know, would we go to Chicago thinking, hey, there's going to be 19 or 20 cars there? Qualifying is going to be difficult. You know, diesel fuel is $5 a gallon. Are we going to take the chance on going up there when we don't have a big sponsor? We don't have, you know, we kind of rely on what we earn with the car to keep us on the road. Versus now, maybe there's only 17 or 18 cars there instead of 20 or 22. Our chances of qualifying are much better. You know, diesel fuel is $3 a gallon instead of $5 a gallon, so we're going to save a pretty substantial chunk there. And now, maybe it makes sense for us to go to Chicago and try something like that. You know, maybe we see TJ Zizzo at a few more races. Maybe the Doat family decides to expand their schedule a little bit with Leah and with what they're doing. You know, and again, we'll just have to wait and see. But obviously, if there are going to be high-financed, you know, big-time countdown cars that are not going to be on the full tour, that certainly opens up possibilities for some of the regional guys to maybe spread their wings a little bit.
Very interesting scenarios happening in the world of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And folks, a lot of this news is breaking literally right now as we do the show and over the course of the early weeks of 2015. Keep coming back. We are going to cover it, and as more news comes out. One thing that Alan doesn't do, I don't like to do, is speculate just completely on what the news is. Prefer to let the news happen and then talk about it after it has happened and give analysis. Something that has actually happened to Alan is John Hale has been announced as the new driver for Jim Dunn Racing, and he'll be on this show just minutes from now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. John, who obviously has had a lot of success on the Nostalgia Circuit, the Hot Rod Heritage Tour, you know, he's made a couple of attempts at NHRA in the big show cars, and now being able to drive Jim Dunn's car. You look at Jim over the years, you know, not counting Jeff Arendt, who's been driving the car for the last couple of seasons, but Jim has taken a lot of guys and taught them basically to drive big show nitro cars, you know, back to the Kenji Okazaki days. He's a guy that runs a pretty lean operation, a pretty solid operation. You know, they don't tear up a lot of stuff, they don't hurt things, they don't, you know, they run a little bit of a conservative program, which makes it a little bit more of an easy learning curve for somebody to step up from the lower ranks into the nitro ranks. So bad news for Jeff Arendt, good news for John Hale. I look forward to seeing him out on the circuit. We had an opportunity to talk to him a couple of times when he's been out at the racetrack here in the last year or so, and look forward to see what he does with Jim and the team.
Preseason testing just around the corner. Jeff Arendt departing from that team, though. Obviously, he's one of the big personalities out there, very well-liked guy. I would love for him to catch on with another team.
It's just, you know, there are not a whole lot of available rides out there right now. And again, at this late date, you know, if you know back in September that you can start putting out feelers and looking for opportunities, whether or not something will materialize, who knows? Maybe he ends up back in the seat of a Paul Smith car a few races this year. Those two have had a lot of success together over the years. I think, you know, this is as new for Jeff Arendt as it is for everybody else. So I'm sure he's right now looking at possibilities and assessing options.
Paul Smith was out at the yearly Darrell Gwynn Foundation car show that we go to here in town. And him and Jerry Gwynn hanging out there around the Baby Huey restored altar. Just kind of a cool event. I put a lot of pictures up on my Facebook page and Instagram feed, but I think that could be cool. You know, guys like that, they're going to keep racing, and qualified drivers, guys like Jeff, they are few and far between.
Yeah, and, you know, the possibilities are out there. Maybe not for a full-time ride, but for, you know, a race or a handful of races during the course of the year. And again, it's just so new, you're just going to have to wait and see where it all shakes out. Obviously, Paul Smith has got a relationship with Blake Alexander. They've had that for the last couple of years. But that basically is relying on funding. And, you know, whether or not that's going to come together, whether that's going to expand, maybe that's a team that decides that, you know what, we don't have to deal with quite as many cars. Qualifying is going to be maybe not such a big mountain to climb, and maybe they'll go out and try to knock down a few more. Just have to wait and see. There's a lot of guys that are still making decisions right now.
Absolutely. I see on NHRA.com that Jimmy Olland is going to return to NHRA competition. That's kind of cool.
Well, he's at least got to come back to Charlotte and defend his title at the four wide, don't you think?
Yes. I totally am a supporter of defending the title.
Yeah, I think that Pro Stock's going to be interesting. There have been some big changes in that category. There have also been some behind-the-scenes moves that are not necessarily public, but are going to be revealed when we get to the first couple of races that should, you know, there's going to be some changes in some of the powerhouse teams. There's going to be some of the powerhouse teams trying to shore up their personnel a little bit and maybe fill in some of the weak, you know, some of the weak points or just trying to get, you know, we've seen it before, right? It's like teams got everything in place, they just don't seem to click. And yet another set of experienced eyes comes in, and all of a sudden, that was the missing ingredient. You know, maybe he realized, hey, we didn't tighten this one nut over here, and that's what's been holding the car back. So I think, you know, there's definitely going to be some behind-the-scenes changes in Pro Stock that should liven up the competition considerably.
And the rumor mill is buzzing, that is for sure. Don Schumacher going through another medical procedure, Alan. That always gets me, obviously, any time someone you know has any kind of medical procedure scheduled, it is something of concern. But the Don being so involved with so many aspects of the sport of drag racing, it's something of something to be aware of.
Well, you know, as much as I don't like to speculate on sponsor news and team news, I'd even steer further clear of, you know, anybody's personal health issues. One thing that I do think I know is the issue that Don had earlier in the year was caught very early, which is always a plus. You know, and hopefully, you know, whatever this is just another little speed bump in the road.
Absolutely, and we'll have Tony on a few minutes from now. Of course, I'll ask him about his dad. Alan, great job as usual. David Rampe going to be on the show. We're going to try to delve into Competition Eliminator. You want to give that a crack, you know, how to turn a Nitro fan into a Comp Eliminator fan?
If you're a car guy, you're already a Comp Eliminator fan, whether you know it or not. Take a walk through the pits in Comp Eliminator and just look at the machines and the fact that it's performance-based. I know that a lot of casual fans have a little bit of a tough time grasping the super gas, super comp cars. You know, as difficult as it is to win in those categories and as tough as the competition is, for a casual fan, having a car that comes off the starting line and then slows down during a race sometimes can be tough to grasp. But Competition Eliminator is performance-based. It's first one to the finish line. Yeah, there's some handicap stuff. You know, you got a four-cylinder car, I got a six-cylinder car. Okay, you get a head start. But it still comes down to the first one to get to the finish line wins. That's what makes comp fun. It's as much of a chess game as it is anything else. And David Rampe is, you know, I don't know, if he's not the best in the business, he's certainly in the top three. He's going to be part of that discussion. He's got more national event wins than anybody else in the category. Of course, he's been at it for a number of years. And he's also just a great personality. I love, you know, the Alabama drawl and, you know, the quick smile and friendly handshake. And David, just another one of the great personalities in the category.
Next week, we'll be talking about the Pro Winter Warm-Up, the preseason Nitro test at Palm Beach. And to me, that is the signal. It's time to get it on. It will not be long after that. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you for starting us off right here on WFO.
Thanks, Joe. Pleasure to be here. And if I can just add one more thing on a personal note, I want to send out, you know, all of my best wishes and all of my thoughts and prayers to Stuart Scott's family. He was a tremendous name in sports, even though he was a guy that didn't play. But, you know, you just look at all the tributes that they've done on ESPN and all of the teams that took a moment of silence, that took a moment to remember a sportscaster that left us way too young. I mean, 49 years old is just way, way too young to have cancer take you away from us, especially a guy like Stewart, who was a genuine sports enthusiast, even though he wasn't necessarily an athlete.
Booyah. Totally agree. Alan, great job, and thank you very much.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joining us each week right here on WFO Radio. And we are starting strong here in 2015. Tony Schumacher coming up next. All you fans of Don Schumacher Racing and Tony, eight-time Mellow Yellow World Champ. We're going to catch up with Tony on the show just minutes from now, so stick around. John Hale, new driver for Jim Dunn Racing, going to be on the show. And David Rampe. And at this moment, the show, we're always adding on as things happen. We do all our interviews early in the week, and we catch up with everybody, and we release it 7 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday night. That's always been our time, dating back to the satellite days. And we never changed it. Although people listen whenever they want is really the answer. It's time-shifted media. That's why downloading the application, listening on the WFO app, or TuneIn, or Stitcher. A lot of people listening on Stitcher, or your regular RSS feed, or iTunes. Your iPhone comes with a podcast catcher. If you are like an old-school NHRA fan, and you're thinking to yourself, I would love to hear these interviews, I just don't know how to work my device, I just can't do it. You can do it. Ask your children or grandchildren. It's real easy, couple buttons, and you're good to go. Maybe you're a younger person, you want to hook up your father or your grandfather or grandmother who's a big NHRA fan, wants to do it. Hook them up. Help them out. Bring them into the digital age. That's what we're doing. We're bringing everybody together here on WFO Radio. But we're working on our studio as well. We got a lot of interesting things going on here, getting ready for in 2015. And you may or may not be able to tell, but we have got, you know, the hammers and the axes. Everything is out, and it's pretty out of control. But we got big things coming, and we never miss a show. That is our deal. We really try hard to never miss a show. You subscribe to the show, you will hear some sort of new audio every week, and we bring it right through the off season. Going to be doing a ticket giveaway for the Pro Winter Warm Up at Palm Beach International Raceway. Nitro cars for the first time in 2015. You got to follow me on Twitter at WFO Joe to be part of that. Going to be very, very interesting. We'll even be doing a show from Palm Beach International Raceway. So stick around for that. Big stuff happening. When we come back, Tony Schumacher going to join us on the show, going to talk about his championship, catch up with the eight-time champ later on, John Hale and David Rampe. But first, I want to tell you about the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank Hawley has been doing it for a long time, been training championship drivers, bracket racers, super series racers, and you would be hard-pressed to find a top-tier driver that didn't go through Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School at some point. However, now they have got a program called the Dragster Adventure, and it is really directed at the thrill seeker or drag racing fan who wants the experience, who wants to feel the experience of what it's like to drive a dragster. And you can do it now. Go to frankhawley.com to find out more information. They go around the country. They have a schedule that they follow. You can go to the website. You can find the schedule. But really, what's it all about? It's all about you having an experience that you will remember for the rest of your life. Give them a call, 866-480-7223. What better way to start 2015 than with the Dragster Adventure? It's not a ride-along. It's not you with a professional driver and you're feeling the experience and they're having all the fun. You are driving the car. They do team-building experiences. They do bachelor parties. You and the guys out there driving dragsters. There are so many things to do these days, but there are so few things that truly stand out head and shoulders above the rest as a great experience. The Dragster Adventure is one of those things. Go to frankhawley.com. That is Frank Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y.com, or give him a call, 866-480-7223. If you call an order, they'll even break it into four easy payments so that you can spread out the cost over a couple of months. That way, you can have a little fun driving a dragster 0 to 60 in less than 3 seconds. You can reach speeds of up to 130 miles per hour and even offer side-by-side racing. Where are you going to get that? 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. When we come back, Tony Schumacher joins us right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
The pros are back at Palm Beach International Raceway. Smell the nitro and see the flames. Funny cars, top fuel dragsters, and jet dragsters going 300 miles per hour. January 16th and 17th at PBIR in Jupiter with Nitro champions Tony Schumacher and Matt Hagen, Larry Dixon, Antron Brown, Sean Langdon, and the Larson Motorsports all-female jet dragster team at Palm Beach International Raceway. Click racepbir.com for details.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found and Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Now back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, welcome back. Happy 2015. The new year is upon us. Our first show of 2015. It is huge, and so we have to have a huge guest, like a tremendous guest. How about an eight-time world champion that we did not catch up with since he held the crown? Joining us now, the winningest driver in Top Fuel history, Tony Schumacher. Tony, welcome back to WFO. Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year to you guys too. It's be back and kind of getting in motion, getting ready for the season.
Absolutely. How has it been though, being the champ, earning the championship for your eighth time? How has this one felt? Similar or different than the ones in the past?
You know, it was as good, if not better than many of them. I think because you know, since 2009, we had gotten close. I think we finished number two a few times. You know, you're so close, you can taste it, and it's right there, and you know you have a team capable of it, but I think it's gratifying because we struggled, you know, and we went through pretty good hardcore adversity, and I think, working on that six disc clutch and, trying to win a championship with a little extra weight with the canopy on the car and a lot of safety, precautions, the guys had to work extra hard, and I mean, they had to make a car productive and fast with all that safety, they had to work much harder. You know, it's kind of like exponentially more difficult. You talk about that as you go faster. You know, you want to go from a 6-second car to a 5-second car. You're going to spend some money, but you want to go from a 5-second car to a second car. You spend a ton of money because you're now doing so many things that are state of the art, and the talent level has to be higher, and the parts and pieces have to be more expensive and lighter. And it's the same thing with the safety thing. When you want to add, you know, something safer, to add something safer, you're going to add weight to a car. So now you got to work that much harder to take it off. And then the guys did what they had to do, and they worked extra hours and they worked hard, and you know, making a championship run for it under those circumstances and conditions, man, is very rewarding.
Last week on the show, we played an interview that we did with you prior to the Charlotte race. You came on the show, and we kind of just talked about your confidence level, what you thought you had going into the countdown. But at that point, I could have talked to most of the drivers, and they would have probably said, I feel great, this is our opportunity. But you said flat out, I wouldn't want to race us. We are ready for it. We're going to get it, and you got it. And that is very impressive to be able to make a statement. Go back to that point. You obviously were very confident for the right reasons.
Absolutely. We were coming from scratch, and we had a couple of bad breaks. I think, you know, great car. Maybe I'm late on the start line. Maybe when I'm on and the car's a little off. It is a numbers timing game. It really is. There were a handful of cars that could have won a championship there this year, given different set of circumstances with the same car, you know, and the same team. I mean, Coletta's an outstanding driver, and the car is running as good as any car out there by far. And yet, you know, when the moments came that they had to win, something took it from them, you know, and we could have been in the same position, and happened in the past. I mean, we could have won a championship in a few years back when Antron won it. You know, I have a 50 reaction time, and Bernstein has a 35 and beats me, you know, and that's just the way it is. You know, it's a set of circumstances. But I knew that we were going in with a car that was figuring out how to win, you know, with a team that was right on the edge of having it all come together, and we did exactly that. You know, start out of the countdown winning two races. It's a statement to do that.
Your last title after Alan Johnson departs, and I will be asking you about that story at some point, but kind of a momentum thing. You're able to win the title, and then as the team develops, Antron comes into his own. You got Spencer out there. And we have discussed on the show, and we've discussed with you, in many ways, enabling your own assassin. I know that's an extreme term, but you have lost a lot of close races to your teammates who are basically, as you have said, running two additional cars that are built off the U.S. Army car prototype, two teams that have spawned from your team. And so it has been harder for you to win because of you. Has it been frustrating? You seem to have taken it very, very well as anyone could, to know that your team made the field more competitive and thus maybe made it more difficult for you to get back to where you are now.
Well, absolutely. It's frustrating on one hand because, you know, you got your own team beating you. It's more frustrating because you get, you know, comments from fans and stuff, oh, you only win because your other team lets you win. I love that. Because my own team's beat me more than the other team out there. But it's funny because you read it and you go, really, do you watch racing? Or you just speak, you know, just talk smack. And that's frustrating. But on the flip side, we couldn't run a full 16-car field without those cars. So they're needed. And, you know, our names on the side of those cars are all different. So it's not like we have one car out there. You know, it's not three Army cars, man. Their sponsor's on the side of those cars. So we got to race, man, you know, they can study our team and they can, you know, they work together as crew chiefs. But when we're struggling, and we have in the past, they come and help us too. So yeah, it started out and it spawned from one car, and then we built it into two back in the Melanie Troxell days. And, now we have three cars that are all equally hard to beat. I mean, Antron, he won more races than we did last year. We just won him at the right time. He's got a great car and he's a great driver, and the team itself, it's spectacular. Spence, I mean, that team is great. The struggle a little this year, I have no doubt about that, but you know, we struggled for a few years, so it's part of the deal. But they're going to have their championship runs, and he's a great driver, killer lever, you know, good car. You can't ask for more great between the three of us. You know, we have extensive data to go out and win championships, no doubt. And I, you know, fans say, well, you got, you know, one car teams, and I miss those days. well, if we had a bunch of one-car teams, you wouldn't have enough cars to race. So I understand what they're saying, but, you know, my dad does a great job putting those cars out there to win championships, and we've made it competitive for, let's face it, Alan Johnson was the guy, and John Force was the guy. I mean, they're still out there, and they're doing great jobs, but there's other teams now, and I think that's important for NHRA to have at least two superpower teams out there to battle against each other.
Absolutely agree. Speaking of your father, how is he doing? I know he had a medical procedure and has since been to the track and testing and all. How is his health coming along?
He's okay. He's going to start his radiation, you know, 6 weeks. It'll be rough on him. You know, these doctors now are so fantastic, and the equipment they use is state-of-the-art. So we just say our prayers and hope for the best. You know, we need him out there.
Absolutely. And the six-disc clutch, let's get into that a little bit. Obviously, it seems to be the way to go. It's a kind of a success breeds copycats. You know, success leads tracks in that, okay, now you've won the title with the six-disc clutch. You went through some growing pains. Is this something you feel that everybody is just going to have from now going forward?
Man, this is a question of all questions. You know, every time we think that there's other cars out there running faster. You know, I mean, we're not the fastest car at Pomona. I mean, I don't know what Morgan Lucas has in his car, so it's kind of hard to say it, but I think five disc does its job very well. I think the six disc put in, assuming that power levels are just going to keep going up, and at some point, you know, we've moved from four discs. I was around when we were running four and then five, and, you know, now at six, so who knows? You know, it's a difficult thing, man. You're throwing more weight around. It's a little harder to levers and angles and everything changes, and it takes time, you know. And I think back to the question about my team, yeah, it's hard when we spend 2 or 3 years making it work, and then, you know, the other teams can come over and say thank you while they were winning races all along with the five disc, you know. So that part gets kind of a little frustrating, but, you know, we can use their help too. You know, they go out and with Antron and Spencer beating the guys that we need. And for me, beating, you know, Coletta at certain races helps them out. So, and this is a monster battle. I wish I had more answers for that. I will stay with it. You know, Antron ran most of the year with five discs, and then at the very, very end was going very, very fast with the six. Still for the team to deck.
Are you there?
I am.
Okay, sorry. I thought we lost you for a second. Seven disc, is that like a natural progression for those of us who are not necessarily knowledgeable? You mentioned there was there was four, there was five, there's six now, and each time you are able to figure it out and improve. Is this something that 10 years from now we'll be talking about, the seven disc clutch? Is that just the natural progression?
You know what? I wish I was smart enough to give you that answer. I don't know. I can only look back and assume. You know, it's just, you're looking at history and how it repeats itself. You keep getting more power, and you keep adding a clutch disc. You know, it seems like there would be the likelihood.
Very interesting. Now, some big news this week. You are the champ of a sport that I believe is maybe resurgent, maybe on the move, maybe poised for tremendous growth here in 2015. I am certainly hoping so, but some bad news just overall is that the Qatar Racing Club has terminated funding for all motorsports activities. That's the headline, and it's going to affect your former crew chief, Alan Johnson, and Alan Johnson Racing with their Alan Abbey team. How so? Not yet necessarily figured out as of the time of this interview. They say they are contemplating their future. What was your reaction to that news when you heard that one of your great rivals, when those two cars come to the starting line, the U.S. Army and the Alan Abbey car, it's like a big moment for drag racing fans. What did you think when you heard that news?
You know, it's bombed. I mean, you know, Alan Johnson needs to be out there, and the drivers are fantastic, and they're really kind of coming into their own, and I think they need to be out there. I hope, you know, someone jumps on board quickly, because those are two great, great cars that are absolutely instrumental in this championship battle. I mean, nobody wants to win any easy races, and those guys were very, very hard. They're the trophies that sit on the shelf and shine the most, you know, and I think I have no doubt that Alan Johnson will be out there racing. I just, I don't know what name will be on the side of that car, man. I hoping something jumps in quick because we can't go a year without
him. I agree on the entertainment value. It's one of the great moments in the sport, watching you guys go at it, especially coming up in 2015. Testing happening real soon. In fact, we're already advertising the Pro Winter Warm-Up down here in sunny South Florida, and everyone is buzzing about seeing Nitro cars. You and Matt Hagen, the Nitro champions, and all teammates coming down here to test at PBIR. Are you ready for your yearly trip down south to West Palm Beach?
Hey, man. You know, I moved to Texas over the summer last year, and it's nice here, you know. It's in the 50s and 60s right now, but I'm looking forward to down there getting back in the car. This is, you know, a couple months off is a long time to be sitting out of the seat. And every year it's the same thing. You get back in it and you get used to it real quick. It's just at the end of the year you're so finely tuned and driving the car better, you know, obviously because you've had all those laps. And it's not a little slow, but I look forward to it, man. We always. We go out and we make a few laps, a couple each day, and then we golf on Thursday, and just got to get out there, man. Get a little sun, enjoy myself, and get ready for Pomona, man. It's going to be a butt-kicking year. Just awesome.
I agree. I'm very much looking forward to it. It's right around the corner. It is upon us. I'm sure you're going to be packing your bag real soon. And, hey, Tony, before we let you go, I know the championship was a couple of months ago, but one of our sponsors is Blends Coffee, Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. He's a huge drag racing fan from Fort Worth, Texas, and he wanted me to make sure that every one of the Mellow Yellow champions got a bag of coffee, some hot sauce, and some barbecue spice rub. Erica got hers. Hagen got his. Everyone has gotten theirs except for you. So I want to present that to you courtesy of Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. I would imagine living in Texas now, you're a big barbecue guy.
Absolutely. I'm jacked up, man. I haven't smiled as much today. Playing football with my kids was good, but that's great news. I'm a huge coffee fan, too. Barbecue, coffee, and salsa. Send it.
Excellent. Excellent. Before we hang up, I will get your address. One final thing. Are you in the home wine brewing business as well? You know, the Wikipedia page, sometimes it's inaccurate, but that's kind of a cool thing if that's what you do.
It used to be. I had a partner in Chicago years ago. We sold the supplies to make beer and wine and actually even coffee. It was pretty neat. If you were original beans, that's a neat process. Stinks up the house, but an awesome process. And years ago, I sold it to a friend of mine. That's business now.
Very, very good. Well, I'll be very eager to have Marvin send you that. And you kind of were in a similar business, just with wine and home brewing of beer, which is very, very popular. But that, you know, the winter time is almost over, at least the off season is, and we're going to be racing real soon. Tony, thank you so much. Thank you for your effort to get back a hold of me. I don't know what was going on, but at very least now I've got star power right at the start of the season with the champ. Thank you so much.
You got it. Anytime.
Tony Schumacher with us here on WFO Radio. We finally caught up with the 8-time champ. And he and I were going back and forth over the course of the holidays. But I love the fact that we start the year with star power, the winningest Top Fuel driver ever. And that's how it goes on WFO. If you're a first-time listener, why don't you just click subscribe either on iTunes or download the mobile application for free? Because this is how it's going to be all year long. We got some big things coming up here in South Florida where our show is located, the home of the WFO Radio Studios, the Pro Winter Warm-Up, just a couple weeks away. I will be doing a live remote from the track the Friday, January 16th, on one of the local sports radio stations here in South Florida, interviewing the drivers, talking about the event. It's going to be great. I will let you know where to go so you, the WFO audience, can listen live as that goes out. Hey, if we can juice up their streaming numbers, that would be good too. So I will let you know. You can get your tickets, of course, by going to racepbir.com, my home track. Very, very cool. Excited to see the preseason test. And how about Tony? He's excited about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, as am I. We still got a lot more show to come. David Rampe, the competition eliminator champion for 2014. Rambo going to come on the show. We're going to talk to him about his championship season, the fourth championship of his Lucas Oil Racing career. We're also going to speak with John Hale. John is coming up next. He is the new driver of Jim Dunn Racing's Grime Boss Funny Car. John Hale, a nostalgia racer. He's well known. He's done some racing out here. He's got a huge season coming up. He's going to be running NHRA. He's going to be running some on the I side. He's going to be all over the place. Busy man. We're going to speak with John Hale coming up. David Rampe, maybe some final thoughts at the end. We're under construction here at WFO Radio as we try to make some massive improvements before we get really busy. Coming up in a couple of weeks, of course, follow us on social media. We'll post some photographs of what's going on here in the WFO Radio studios as it goes by. Follow on Twitter, all that. But first, you heard Tony. He was stoked about the WFO holiday pack that he got as a reward, an award, a prize for being the champion. Matt Hagen got one, Erica Ender-Stevens got one, and Marvin Rodak, I spoke with him early this week. It was his birthday. Happy birthday, Marvin. Marvin Rodak at rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. Putting together the WFO radio blend of coffee, the habanero hot sauce, the A26 spice rub. Go to the website, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, and find out more. Like, look around on there. Browse. Check it out. We did great business over the holidays. WFO listeners ordering the WFO holiday pack, but guess what? The holidays are over. That's right, I know, it's a bummer, but the coffee is just as good, and as the season goes by, we're going to work with Marvin on different, the Arbor Day special. Who knows what we're going to do, but the bottom line is, if you love coffee, if you got one of those Keurig machines, you can get the special cup that you can put together your own coffee in there. Over 40 original coffees from around the world, plus he blends them. The exotic stuff, like the Sumatra Kopi Luwak and others, all available. Go to WFOradio.com and click the banner ad, or go straight to Rodak's website, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, to find out more. People all over the country are trying Rodak's coffee for the very first time and finding themselves shocked, surprised, and happy as can be. It is great. It's a great way to start your day. You hear the commercial, the holidays are coming. The holidays are over, baby. Except for Joe's birthday and Marvin's birthday. I guess Marvin's is over now, too. But the best holiday of them all is the start to the NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing season, and that is coming up. You want to be ready with some coffee and some spice rub and some hot sauce as you get ready. Go to rodakscoffeeandgrills.com to find out more. You will love it. When we come back, John Hale joins us to talk about his big show opportunity with Jim Dunn Racing right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
Just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
WFO Radio is worldwide. Racing fans from 51 countries and 6 continents have signed on to the best racing show in the world, WFORadio.com.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. All you first-time listeners, for the first time in 2015, boy, are we coming out of the hole strong with Tony Schumacher. And now some breaking news just announced early this week. Driver of the Grime Boss Funny Car for 2015, John Hale, joins us now. John, welcome to WFO for the first time. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Now, with your background, you've had success in just about everything you've been in, the nostalgia cars. Tell me about how this deal got put together. You're stepping up to the big show.
Well, you know, I got my license, competed in the Seattle race, 2013, qualified, lost first round to Robert Hyde on a red light. Just let my emotions get the best of me there. Wanted to cut a good light. Knew I had to cut a good light. And double-stepped it and red-lighted. Competed this year at the Sonoma race. And on last round of qualifying, trying to get in the show, the timing clocks malfunctioned. Jeff Deal and I had one more shot to get in. Went up there, tree malfunctioned, went ahead and left on the green. Ran a good enough run to get in the show. Should have been a 4:15 or so, but we didn't have a time slip to show the time. So NHRA disqualified the times. Didn't give us the time, didn't get a time slip, so didn't get in the show. Real disappointing to sit out on Sunday and see someone get in with a 6:20 when we knew we ran much better than that on that last run. So, didn't really have any plans, from there. Might have, gotten back in Steve's car again next year or this year being 2015 to keep my license current. John Dunn approached me right before the World Finals and said that there was an opportunity with the Dunn team for me to drive there. So my wife and I flew out to Pomona to attend the race and talk to them. And the Monday morning after the race, we met with the Dunn family and they threw a deal out for me. And I told them that I would have to consider it. I'd need a little bit of time to consider it. And so my wife and I talked about it, gave it a couple weeks thought, and I chose to accept it and take the driving job.
moving up to the big show, but you're going to be a busy man in 2015. Just looking at some of the racing you're going to do, obviously 24 races with the NHRA, the full season, and Jim's team, the Grime Boss on board, they've got some solid, consistent funding over the past couple of years and have shown that they can step up when they want to and put a big, a good enough number up on the board. But you're also going to run some races on the I side and the DRO. You got 36 events on your calendar for 2015. That's pretty strong.
It is, you know, and what more can you want to do than drive a Nitro Funny Car every weekend? I mean, how bitching is that? How many people get the opportunity to do that? So I know I'm going to be busy, and my dog's probably going to get to know the dogs that are better than me. I won't know what my bed looks like, but we're definitely going to be racing funny cars this year.
So how did this get started for you, John? John Hale is joining us, the new driver for the Jim Dunn Racing Team. He will be the Grime Boss out there in 2015. Take me back to the beginning, John. You've been doing this nostalgia funny car thing for a while, but bring me back to the early days where you got the bug for drag racing.
You know, I worked for Mike Burkhart my first job. I was 13. He had an auxiliary gas tank place during the gas crunch. And we installed auxiliary gas tanks on vehicles so that when it was your day to fill up, whether it was odd or even on your license plate, you could take on more fuel and not worry about running out of gas till it was your next day to fill up. So he made a lot of money in the late 70s and early 80s installing gas tanks. And while I was working for him, I would see pictures of his racing and funny cars, and you know, got to be around some of his friends like David Ray and Raymond Beadle, and probably that's what started the ball rolling there. Then later on, I worked for another famous drag racer, Larry Ledoux. He was he drove the Tennessee Bullweevil. In the earlier days, he had a front engine top fueler called the Rap Patrol here in Dallas. I worked for him, and he approached a friend of his that had a front engine roadster, a bracket car, and I went to the racetrack with them one weekend and saw the operation and what went on. And then the next weekend, I went back with him again. I drove small 8th mile track in East Texas. I think my first lap on an 8th mile track was like a 6:18. And from there on, you know, I just wanted to go faster. We wound up putting nitrous on the roadster. We wound up putting a tunnel ram with two carburetors on it. That guy wound up getting a divorce, and that kind of went away. Later on, I decided I wanted to build my own car. So I built a rear engine dragster with a big block Chevy in it and ran it on nitro.
What?
About 70%. Yeah, just to learn about nitro, not really to race it or compete, but we'd take it out to the racetrack and just have some fun with it. So at the same time, I had a hot rod shop with a partner, and my partner and I split up, and I didn't know if I was going to have room in my new shop to keep that dragster, so I sold it, shipped it over to Australia, Brisbane, Australia. Then a couple of years later, after I kind of got my business back in order, I saw that Dale Worsham had the Blue Max Nostalgia car. I went to the Texas Motorplex. It was a national event, I believe the Fall Nationals. Probably around 2008, and I saw that Blue Max Nostalgia car run, and I said, man, that's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. So shortly after that, I saw that Virgil Hartman had a couple of Nostalgia cars for sale in North Carolina, and I've been looking around and couldn't really find any other ones for sale, so I wound up buying the Miss Scarlet Nostalgia funny car from him, and I put a Camaro body on it, and that was my first car. It carried the the Mike Burkhardt Camaro body on it. And that was a learning curve. That car wasn't really a nostalgia legal car. Virgil had been running them with the, some hand-me-down Big Show parts on them, like 1471s and the Mag 44s. So we decided we wanted to compete with the nostalgia class and the Heritage Series. So we made it legal. We put a 671 blower on it, a points mag, a 21-gallon pump. And didn't even have my license yet. And we entered the Hot Rod Reunion. And here in Texas, we were having a bunch of rain at the time, so I couldn't finish up my license. So we left town on the way to Bakersfield, and we wound up stopping in Tucson and finishing up my license on the way to the Hot Rod Reunion, sending my paperwork in overnight, getting my approval from Glendora, got my license, and wound up competing in the Hot Rod Reunion as my first competitive race. I don't remember where we finished. I know we qualified. I don't know if how many rounds we went or where we wound up, but it was an achievement, just getting the license and making it to Bakersfield and qualifying there.
Wow, tremendous. Just to get to that point, and now to think about where you are about to go, another quantum leap forward. What do you expect out of this coming season, and what do you think you're going to have to? You have a lot to get ready for, not just the 10,000 horsepower monster that you're going to be trying to drive each and every weekend, but also the fans, the personalities, the social media. Like, there's a different layer and a different level. They call it the Big Show for a reason. Are you ready for it?
I am ready for that, and I like that part of the racing. I love people. I'm a people person. I like the kids. I like the fans. I like talking to people. I like making appearances. We do a lot of displays with the nostalgia car at dealerships and restaurants, and even done some children's hospitals. And I like all that. That's one of my favorite parts about drag racing is the people, and I'm ready for that.
That is cool to hear, because it's obviously it's the backbone of the sport, but also some people are racers and they want to race, and that part of it is a necessary evil in many ways. It's great to hear that you actually embrace that.
I do, man. I'm looking forward to this. I know I got some big shoes to fill coming in after Jeff. He's a great driver, great reaction times. I'm trying to prepare myself mentally to drive that car and do a good job. I'm not just doing this to say I've done it. I want to go out there and I want to win some rounds. I want to win some races. And just really looking forward to getting in the car, getting used to the car, getting acclimated to the Dunn team and their operation, and getting this ball rolling, getting underway.
Jim Dunn, such a legend in the sport, legend of funny car racing. To think that you're going to be working with and interacting with him and John at throughout the season, like, what does that mean to you? Do you feel like wow? They talk about the culmination of a career to get to work side by side with Jim Dunn, and the stories are that he is he is a very strong personality, and that it can be difficult at time. Are you ready and excited about that?
Yeah, I've worked for some hard people, in my life, and dealt with them, and I know how to diffuse some situations, that aren't going in my favor, and again, I'm a people person. I think I can deal with that. I'm not easily offended. You're not going to hurt my feelings. And, if he wants to get upset about something, then that's his prerogative, and we'll just move on. I'm not going to hold it to him personally. And we're both passionate about drag racing. And when you're passionate about stuff, you wear your emotions on your sleeve. So, I think we're going to work out fine, and I'm anxious to get busy with it and interact with him and talk to him.
When will that happen? When will your first opportunity behind the wheel come?
We both agreed that Q1 at Pomona will be my first lap in the car. He had the team service it before they put it away at the World Finals. So the car's been ready to go. They've done some inspections on the rear end and some of the other safety equipment and that sort of thing. But the motor was serviced and ready to go. So we're just going to strap me in it and send it.
There you go. That's exciting already.
No testing, and I feel comfortable with it. So in our four rounds of qualifying, we'll get her in the show and get her done.
John, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. I understand your mountain bodies on your nostalgia car as well, so you are a busy man as we speak with a lot of big things coming up in 2015. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Greatly appreciate it, and I'm sure this will not be our final conversation. Good luck out there in 2015. I will talk to you.
I hope not. Thank you.
Thanks, John. John Hale with us here on WFO Radio, moving up to the big show with Big Jim Dunn and the Grime Boss Racing Team. Very cool. Obviously, we've had Jeff Arend on the show many times. Love Jeff, and hoping that an opportunity comes his way, but also cool to see John Hale getting a shot at the big show with Jim Dunn, a very fan favorite team, and watching that all take place and watching it all go down is going to be very interesting. John Hale is on Twitter, John Hale Racing. And Jim Dunn Racing is J Dunn Racing, as we get out the word on the social media. Going to be very interesting. First Q1 of the Winter Nationals. Going to be very interesting. John Hale jumps in that Grime Boss Racing Team. He's got 140 followers as of now. At the end of the year, he'll have thousands. And that's the way it works out there in the NHRA. We still got more to come, folks. That's right, WFO Radio. I don't know if you can hear. We are under construction a little bit here in our studios. We are making some changes and doing some updates. Not to mention, they're out there paving the road, so I don't know exactly what is coming through. But if we sound a little different this week than we normally do, it's only because we are temporarily under construction and we'll be back. And if not, if you couldn't hear anything and didn't understand that at all, then forget about everything I just said. Just totally forget it. Everything I just said, but the bottom line is we've got a lot more show to go. We're going to be here all year long. Check out the archive. I'm going to be at many NHRA national events. You got to get caught up with your NHRA Mellow Yellow fandom as we get ready for the Pro Winter Warm-Up. I'm going to be giving away tickets, but you got to follow me on Twitter, WFO Joe. If you want tickets for the Pro Winter Warm-Up, at Palm Beach International Raceway, you gotta follow me at WFO Joe on Twitter. I have two tickets to the Pro Winter Warm-Up Nitro Test that I will be giving away. They will be at the gate. Will call. It's U plus one. But you gotta follow me on Twitter. We're gonna be doing that, over the course of the next week. So, follow me on Twitter at WFO Joe for that big ticket giveaway. Coming up next, we're going to check in with another world champion in the Lucas Oil Series, David Rampe, competition eliminator. We spoke with Rampe a couple of months back when he tied Bob Glidden in wins. Rampe goes on to win the championship. Just tremendous. Competition eliminator. What a great class. We will get into it. And you never know what kind of surprises happen right at the tail end of WFO Radio breaking news. Who knows? We'll get into it just minutes from now. Stick around.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or bang the blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
The pros are back at Palm Beach International Raceway. Smell the nitro and see the flames. Funny cars, top fuel dragsters, and jet dragsters going 300 miles per hour. January 16th and 17th at PBIR in Jupiter with Nitro champions Tony Schumacher and Matt Hagen, Larry Dixon, Antron Brown, Sean Langdon, and the Larson Motorsports all-female jet dragster team at Palm Beach International Raceway. Click racepbir.com for details.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Welcome back. Happy New Year, all you NHRA drag racing fans out there. You're thinking to yourself, wow, the holidays are over and it's time to talk racing. We will be racing not long from now. You're hearing we're talking about the Pro Winter Warm-Up, Nitro testing going on at West Palm. But we have still not spoken with all the NHRA champions. You just heard from Tony Schumacher. Cha-ching, that one is now off the list. But we got to talk with the competition eliminator, Lucas Oil Series World Champion. He was just on the show a couple of weeks back, but he is back now again as the champ, David Rampe, the man known as Rambo. David, welcome back. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you, too. Did your holidays go well? Did you have a good time?
Yes, sir. Everything was great. Enjoyed the time off.
Excellent. Now, what about now, though? How are you getting ready for this season? What are you going to be doing?
Well, we're actually in the process of trying to freshen all the motors up, actually building a new motor for the comp car. So looking forward to making some more horsepower there and then just trying to freshen all the stuff up and get it ready to go.
Get it ready to rock and roll. I love hearing it. I know our WFO radio listener fans, they love hearing it as well. David, your fourth NHRA championship, your first one way back in 1985 in Super Gas, then 1989. 1995 was Super Comp. You won Comp in 1990, and now in 2014, another competition eliminator championship. What does this one mean to you? How does it all fit in to your racing resume?
Well, you know, to be honest about it, to me, it's more about the money than anything. About the money and just being able to accomplish a goal that you kind of try to set out at the start of the year. I kind of thought we would, try to pursue maybe, I don't usually run for the points every year. And just kind of this year, I thought, well, let's give it a whirl and see how it goes. And so it all turned out good. And it's just, it's just just another accomplishment. Not really any more special than any of the others, I don't think.
And yet you keep racking them up. It's kind of interesting the way the accolades just keep piling up. And let's talk about how it happened. You started off the season very strong.
Right.
Couple of final rounds in the first four races. You won the Sports Nationals. You won divisionals in Atlanta and Bristol. And, of course, the Norwalk National, which I believe got you on WFO.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was a good deal.
Huge season. What was it about this year that you were you just more focused? Did you have a performance advantage, or as it usually is, a combination of all things?
Well, I think it was a combination of all things, and a lot of people don't like to admit it, but, you know, some seasons seem like everything goes your way, and then the next season maybe they don't quite go your way, and I think it's a combination of everything. You know, we just kind of got the breaks when we needed them, and things just kind of fell into place.
And now you're sitting on top of the points at the end of the year, and your closest competitor elects not to go out west, and that's how you kind of find out it's over. What is that moment like when you're not really at the track, or you're not watching someone, or you're not on the starting line? It's about scheduling and finding out, okay, no one's going to drive X amount of miles to try to take the title from me. I'm the champ. How is that celebration?
Well, it's kind of bittersweet. I mean, I don't mean to sound whatever there. I mean, I'm very thankful for everything I get, but you know, when you compete against people, you know, you want to do it on an equal, you know, a fair scale, and sometimes that last race, you know, could have made the difference for them. And I mean, like I said, you know, in a way you were glad he didn't come, but in a way it kind of took a little bit away from it, because, you know, you think, well, what if he had had a came, what would have happened then, you know?
But all in all, the championship trophy and the check, they're going to be they're looking the same no matter what, how it all turned.
Yeah.
right, you're not complaining.
Well, that's what they say at the end of the day, you know. Not very many people ask you, you know, they don't ask you how you won. All they want to know is, did you win?
Exactly. Now, are you going to run the points here in 2015? Are you going to do it again, or is this going to be one of those years where you don't necessarily chase points?
Well, I'm not planning on chasing points. We're going to skip the first couple divisional races. In our you know, Division Two is my home division. We're going to skip the first couple, and then it's kind of like I start a lot of times. We'll go out and, you know, and we plan on starting at Valdosta points meet down at Adel, Georgia there, and start there at that points meet, a little warm up, and then go to the Gators, and then just kind of go from there and just see how things go.
East Coast opener, the Gator Nationals. It's crazy to think about, but it's right around the corner. It won't be long, and we'll all be there thinking about how great an event it is. David, when I thought about having you on, obviously we're having all the champions on, you know, competition
right.
Eliminator, your wealth of experience. Help me, first of all, but also help me help the audience understand a little bit better some of the strategy that happens that we don't necessarily see when competition eliminator is on the line. Here's what I understand, and maybe you can elaborate as best as you can, because I understand that there's a whole lot more going on, but in many ways it's difficult to communicate, especially in the limited time we have on the mic at the racetrack. But there are times where you might could win a race, but then say to yourself, I would be pushing myself too hard to win this race, so maybe it'll be better for me in the long run to not win this particular round, and maybe you give up on it. And those decisions are made literally in thousands of a second on the track. You're factoring in races that are coming up, your schedule that's coming up. It seems like so much to have going through your mind when the hammer is down and you're trying to get to the finish line first.
Well, it is. I mean, there is, you know, some people call it complicated eliminator, but I mean, I guess when you've been doing it as long as we have, it's not that hard to understand, but I try to describe things sometimes is I use something a little different. It's like you have so much money in the bank and you can draw that money out and use it however you see fit. But like if something you feel like it costs too much, then you got to just not buy it and then wait for another day when it's not going to cost you as much, maybe, you know, because if you draw all your money out, then your chances of winning are like, you know, you don't have a chance to win maybe after that. Weather plays into that where, you know, you go to a race and it's really, really fast and you know that you're coming up on some races where, like, summer's coming and it's going to get really hot. And if you don't have a lot in the bank when it gets hot during the summer, then you just don't hardly have a chance to win because you've got to just about qualify in the top half of the field. If you don't get in the top half, most of the time, first round, you know, you're done. But if you can win first, be in the top half and win first round, maybe that guy you got next round maybe was faster to start with, but he might have got used up a good bit first round. So then that gives you a chance. But if you don't qualify in the top half, you basically don't have a chance to win first round.
And the idea,
you know, other than just pure luck.
the idea that you're calculating what your own reaction time was as best as you can from the seat of the car and your opponents, and you're making the decision, wow, I could probably get by him, but I will have to hammer my index in a way that will make it much more difficult for me to win races down the road, like you said, in the summertime. So I'm going to elect to not. That, I think, is mind-blowing to drag racing fans out there that are just watching cars go down the racetrack, and you know there are many of those.
Well, and it is, like you say, it's difficult, but, you know, we kind of use the analogy to, you know, live to fight another day. You know, it's kind of like, and it's, I know it's hard to understand it, but it is kind of, you play in chess to agree and you know, kind of strategize, and it's just, it's not as simple as just going out, you know, and making runs, you know.
And that is why the people who are so passionate about Competition Eliminator, you run into them all the time, they love it because it is like playing chess and there are so many layers to it. It's not just about smashing the gas and getting to the finish line first. There's more.
Right. Oh, it's, you know, and like you say, I mean, that's all important to be able to be fast, but there's more to it than just being fast, no doubt.
And if a guy, and I find this interesting as well, hits a combination, comes up with something, and does have the field covered, maybe one racer can't beat him, but a group of racers who really get after him can wear him down and have him beat. Explain how that might work.
Well, it's kind of like I tell people, there's certain people's that you cannot beat unless and they beat themselves. You can't beat them. Their performance is great enough and that you cannot beat them. But if you all go out there and try to have a green light and just, you know, run your race against them, then you just use them up, you know. And it kind of, you know, it's just like kind of like each person taking a shot at a guy, and sooner or later, you know, you wear him down. And that's kind of the way that works. But if people go out there and race the guy and think that they got to have a perfect light to beat him, knowing they're not going to beat him with a perfect light. And you know, then a lot of times they wind up red lighting or, you know, doing something that's totally off the wall and then have no chance at all of beating him in.
And they fail to exact a toll on him, and thus he goes unscathed. And, of course, people were talking about the Competition Index Correction Factor, the CIC that you hear about, and it's if you go too fast, then your index gets lowered, and if you go really fast, it gets lowered permanently. And for the people who find it complicated, as do I, you got to be able to do quick math is basically what it's all about.
Right.
But you're not doing
that's true.
You're not doing math in the car, though. You're doing it by feel.
Right, exactly. You know what the car should run. It's kind of like the other classes, like Super Stock or any of those classes that, you know, even the heads up classes. You know what the car, without changing something, what it should go. You calculate the weather and the kind of the track conditions, and then you know what you should go. So if you're going, say, 65 under, you know, according to your weather and according to the, you know, when you leave the start line, you feel all that in the seat of the pants and you kind of think, well, it's on a good run. Well, you know, if you run it wide open, then you're going to hit the index. So you know, like I say, you kind of got to got to have a feel for all that too, you know.
Very interesting. And this is the chess match aspect of the driving of the cars, which unto themselves are these amazing pieces of technology and machinery. The more often I get down into the pit area and speak at length with drivers in Comp Eliminator, these are exotic machines that you're running this chess match with. It's very impressive, the power that's coming out of these things and the nature that many of these engines are one of one.
Right. Yep, it's pretty special deal. I mean, like I say, there's a lot of thought and effort that goes into all these combinations and, you know, figuring out what's a good combination, what's not a good combination. It's pretty interesting, that's for sure.
What would you say to a listener? Assume my listener is a John Force fan, and he's found the podcast, and he's listening for the first time. And, of course, he likes to take a walk through the Lucas Oil pits at every national event he goes to, but doesn't really know what to look for. Is there, like, a baby step that you could maybe give him to get him on the road to understanding and appreciating Competition Eliminator?
Well, not without thinking about it a little while, I probably couldn't come up with anything. But what different versus the John Force? And those guys are good at what they do. But, you know, I always say you put those guys over with us. And, of course, it might go the opposite way, too. If we put us over with them, it might be the same way. But they couldn't come over and do what we do, and we probably couldn't go over and do what they do. But, you know, it's just it's definitely there's a lot. I think there's as much to our racing or more sometimes than some of their stuff, because basically, you know, I know there's a lot to their deal with the tune-ups and the clutch, you know, all those things that they have to do. But basically, once they've done all that, then, you know, they stab the gas and go to the other end where we're, you know, a lot more is going on for us than probably them.
You ever thought about, I know you've run pro stock in the past, but you ever thought about driving a nitro car? Like, what would it be like? Could I do it? That kind of thought?
Not really. I don't, not bragging by any means. I don't have any doubt that I could do it. I don't know that I could be, you know, I think their deal is kind of like ours. It takes years of going out there, you know, you know, them guys knowing how to pedal and how to, the feel of everything. So, I mean, it takes a lot, but I think, you know, there's some similarities in, you know, they got to feel, they got to know what that feels like when they're leaving, if they're fixing to shake the tires or whatever, you know. But I feel like I could do it, but, you know, I don't really have a desire to do it.
Well, I understand, and obviously you're very successful at what you're doing now. David, I appreciate you coming on WFO Radio and speaking about this fourth
Sure.
championship of your career, and obviously we're all very excited, and I know I am excited just to hear that you're getting ready for 2015. I think 2015 is going to be a banner year for the sport of NHRA drag racing, and I'm looking forward to seeing you out there. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk in front of the WFO Radio audience, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Gainesville.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, thank you for having me on.
David, thank you very much. Congratulations, four championships, 86 national event wins, a tremendous career, and still a long way to go. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David. David Rampe with us here on WFO Radio. What a show. Rampe a champion. Tony Schumacher a champion. John Hale just getting started. Very, very cool. And thanks, David Rampe, for coming on the program. And all you WFO Radio listeners, now, if you're new to the show, which I imagine there are a lot of people new to the show, not only do I imagine it, but I know it for fact. Here's what happens. Christmas comes, and a whole bunch of people who used to have a flip phone or an old school phone, someone in their family helps them move forward and says, you know what, I'm going to get you a smartphone, I'm going to get you an app-running phone, I'm going to get you a phone that's internet-connected. And we see the WFO Radio app, which can be found just by searching NHRA or NASCAR, gets downloaded a whole bunch of times right after Christmas. You're sitting around, you're not doing anything, you start searching some stuff. Hey, what can I find on here? Can I find some NHRA stuff? Sure enough, boom, there's the NHRA application, and then there's us, where you can hear all the winners every week after every national event. That's our shtick, basically. But right now, there are no winners, and so we cover the stories of the day. And next thing you know, you become a listener. Hopefully, And at the tail end of the show, like right now, at the very end, this is where I put my thoughts out or whatever it is. Sometimes I'll rant about something that I'm bothered by. Other times I will just say, hey, buy a WFO radio t-shirt in the WFO store so you can represent when you're out there at the track. Get some WFO gear. Sometimes I will do that. Sometimes we've got people voting for stuff. Sometimes, who knows? On this particular edition, allow me to say this. It is the first show of 2015, and there is a lot of news story type things circulating out there. And some are true, some are not true, some are going to be true, but not yet true. Alan Reinhart referenced some news in pro stock that I have seen out there. Heard some rumors about big names making returns with new teams and moving around. And we are on top of those stories and we are chasing those stories. But the worst thing that we could do, the worst thing we could do is report something erroneously or falsely or early or take the steam away from someone who we really like and get along with in the sport of drag racing. So you've got to follow along with WFO every week, and sometimes other websites like our great friends at competitionplus.com break the news of a story, and then we clean it up by following up with an in-depth interview immediately afterwards or the following week of the show. And that's what WFO Radio is all about. We encourage you to email in joe@wforadio.com or call 954-889-6796. It's a voicemail. You leave your opinion anytime, day or night. Now, we did receive some this week, but we are in the middle of a studio reconfiguration that is unfortunately leading us to have to do the show in some various weird ways this week. But, you know, if you can't tell, that's great. If you can tell, well, next week we'll be back to normal. We are also going to be doing a Pro Winter Warm-Up ticket giveaway. And to get your tickets, we're going to give away two tickets. So if you're in the Florida area, the West Palm Beach area, you want some free tickets, they'll be at Will Call. You got to follow me. I'm going to do it on my Twitter account, WFO Joe, @WFO Joe. You can win tickets to the PBIR Pro Winter Warm-Up. While you're at it, why don't you follow them at @RacePBIR. We're going to be doing a show from PBIR on a local Miami sports radio station from 10 a.m. till noon. Out there to encourage the local community to get out and watch the nitro cars, because we are actively trying to grow the sport of drag racing. If you're new, you're the new guy, this show, we are actively and aggressively trying to increase the fan base of drag racing to NFL fans, to Major League Baseball fans, to NBA fans, to people who are new on the scene and they don't know what they like just yet. They're racing fans, NASCAR fans. We want them all. We understand that you become a fan of NHRA drag racing or drag racing in general, chances are at some point you're going to end up listening to WFO radio because you like it. So we are really working hard to grow the sport in our community here in South Florida, and you're going to get a chance. We're going to tweet the link. The tickets we're going to be giving away are connected to that. So you got to follow me on my personal Twitter account at WFO Joe, which is me. And yeah, you might see some stuff that is not exactly racing related, but those are the breaks. Now, Alanabi Racing, let me weigh into this a little bit. The Cutter Racing Club terminates funding for Alanabi Racing in the United States. A horrific story. There's no other way to say it. And Alan Reinhart, you know, we don't want to speculate. I don't want to speculate. Sports talk radio is pure speculation. There has to be some speculation at some point. Let's take a second to speculate. The way I look at it, it's not even so much a speculation as it is a final assessment. You change your mind, you can change it back. Because the state of whatever it is right now doesn't mean that will be that way in a couple of years. The Sheikh, who has invested so much in the sport of drag racing over the past however many years, can't take that back. It was great. It kept drag racing going. A lot of top-tier teams in Pro Modified and obviously Top Fuel going during maybe the greatest financial crisis other than the Great Depression. So that was all good. People working. Now they decide they're going to cease funding. Clearly it's a negative, but I want to thank them for their involvement. And who's to say it doesn't come back next year or later this year or in 5 years? It was a great period in the time. I feel like when I look at the whole Alanabi Racing situation, when it originally happened, I said to myself, I wonder how long this will last. Not every sponsorship is going to be a Budweiser or a Castrol and last 30 years. And the time that it did last was very productive, great time. So I'm choosing to look at it that way. Now you do have a top-tier team with a champion driver, Sean Langdon, that are in question. Will Alan Johnson run out of his pocket? I don't know. The guy is an engine builder or a parts manufacturer. It's important for him on many levels to be involved in drag racing, to be out there on the track. That's his business. So, it's unfortunate that the Cutter Racing Club has terminated funding. There's a lot of teams, a lot of drivers that are going to be left in the lurch. But this is the way it happens. And Alanabi's involvement from the beginning is a net positive. What will happen next, I do not know. And it'll be interesting to watch and see how it all plays out. And hopefully we can get Alan on WFO Radio to talk about it. And maybe there's something in the works. They seem surprised by the press release. One thing you can be sure of, we will follow the story through and to its conclusion here on the show. Thanks to Tony Schumacher for coming on the program. He was stoked with the Rodax coffee. You should get yourself some too. Big thanks to John Hale for coming on the show. That is an interesting story. Jeff Arend, we don't know what's going to happen to Jeff. Obviously, we want to see him out there driving a funny car. At the same time, we welcome John Hale. And David Ramsey, competition eliminator at Reading last year. I got to sit and speak with one of the drivers, and he was explaining to me about the engine, the power plant. There's one of them on the earth. This is it. And it really, it's not that it opened my eyes. My eyes are open, but any kind of understanding of extremely high-level technology requires time. And anytime you can get a personal introduction of what's going on, it's helpful. So take a walk through the competition eliminator pits when you get out to your first national event. Don't forget, follow on Facebook and Twitter at WFO Radio. WFO Radio's Facebook page is one of the best things, so underrated. It's one of the best things in the world, coming up on 2,000 likes. I know. The show, the Twitter, everything else is much bigger than the Facebook page. I wonder if that says something about Facebook. Twitter account, WFO Radio. Download the app. Subscribe. Get ready. 2015. We're going to be bigger and better than ever. I promise you. I'm already looking at my schedule. We're going to be at many NHRA national events. It's going to be huge. And we want to take you guys, the WFO Radio audience, on board with us. Thanks to Alan Reinhart. Thanks to Tony Schumacher. Thanks to John Hale. Thanks to David Rampton. All of you WFO Radio listeners out there, don't forget to follow me at WFO Joe for a chance to win some tickets. I will be calling the action at the Pro Winter Warm-Up Friday and Saturday night, January 16th and 17th, as you have been here. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.